shall be.
What about now? Hey, all right. Whoever keeps turning my mic on to mute, please stop it. Seriously, I don't ever touch the mute button, and people are keep putting it on mute. So whoever that is, don't turn my mic on to mute. Horrible stuff. Horrible, horrible. Let me ask you this morning this question. I think I already know the answer to it, but I want you to think about it. Has there ever been a time when you needed compassion from someone? I mean, you really needed someone to show you compassion in a particular moment. And that could be wide sweeping in all kinds of areas. We could go around this room this morning and talk about times when things were heartbreaking to you and you just needed someone in that moment to demonstrate to you compassion. What is compassion? There's a variety of definitions, if you will, those that are, if you will, technical, and those that are actual what people call compassion, right? Compassion is deep sympathy or a pity. By the way, we have a negative connotation of pity, but it's not necessarily true, okay? It's not like, bless your heart. That's not necessarily what that means. It means to be moved or to yearn, to suffer with another, to be affected similarly, to show kindness or assistance. Now, I want us to think here for a moment, okay? How many of us, and by the way, I'm guilty at times too, how many of us say that we're compassionate towards someone, but we actually aren't? Like, we actually don't fit this definition. We don't actually feel like they feel. We don't actually show assistance to them. We're not affected similarly than those people. I don't want to use just as an illustration a highly difficult thing this week, but let's think about the shooting in Texas. How many of us would say that we had genuine compassion for what was taking place? The truth is, compassion is more difficult for us to actually practice than we let on. Now the truth is, I'm saddened by what took place this week. But do I feel what those people are feeling this morning? I don't know what it's like to have a child shot in a classroom. I don't know what that's like. I did imagine what it must have been like for teachers all over this country to go to school the next morning. I have a sister-in-law who teaches in a public school system. Aren't you glad that Lamentations 3:22 is in the Bible? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. One of the things that's neat about our Lord, and one of the reasons why the book of Hebrews says that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace, is because He was in our place. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be beaten. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to mourn. He knows what it's like to say to God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He knows that. Someone has said, compassion will cure more sins than condemnation. It's interesting, when you look at the life of Jesus, we find Him far more often being compassionate to people than we do being condemning people. And who are the people who he condemned? Those who should have had compassion. Those people who knew better. Those people who were the religious leaders and they should have known exactly how to respond and they didn't. It is those people that he had condemnation for. The woman at the well, the woman taken in adultery, the men with leprosy, the woman with the coffin. We could go on and on. We see genuine compassion. And I think it's important for us to understand that in a world of turmoil, we must show compassion to others. I want us to just quickly this morning look at several things, and I'm going to move quickly. By the way, I told Jeremiah to take all the time he needed. I wanted us to hear that report. We probably won't see him on a Sunday again until late in July, maybe one other Sunday. But number one, I want us to see here Jesus showed compassion. I already talked about this, but when he saw a spiritual need, Jesus showed compassion. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Mark 6 and verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. One author said, Jesus saw the people as leaderless and needy, like sheep without a shepherd. In fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, Jesus cared for the flock. Isaiah 40 and verse 11 says, and he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. I'm thankful for that. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. But can I point out to you that Jesus didn't just show compassion to those in spiritual need. Jesus actually showed compassion to those in physical need as well. That's demonstrated for us in a number of passages of Scripture. Mark 14, 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. Sickness, hunger. Matthew 20 and verse 34, he touched their eyes and immediately their eyes received sight. Jesus was moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. In Mark 1, 41. Mark 8, verse 2, I have compassion on the multitude because they now have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. I am grateful that our Lord meets our spiritual needs, but I'm grateful that that's not all he meets. I'm grateful that he cares about the physical needs, the emotional needs, the hunger, the eyesight, the weeping that takes place, compassion. Can I say that sometimes we find ourselves out of balance in trying to meet the spiritual needs and neglect the spiritual, or vice versa. In other words, so many times we find ourselves, either we're going to always meet the physical need and there's no spiritual aspect, or we're going to just meet the spiritual need and there's no physical aspect. The truth is, sometimes people can't listen to the gospel because they're hungry. Number two, others showed compassion. We're very familiar with Luke chapter 10 and verse 33. And when a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. We don't have time to go through every detail of this story, but it's important for us to understand that this compassion resulted in action. In other words, he didn't just come by and see the guy in need and say, somebody ought to do something about that. Boy, somebody really could bind up his wounds and they could pour some ointment on him and they could take him to an inn and they could take care of him and they could feed him some food. Somebody really ought to do that. No, he actually did it. And he was a man that would have normally been despised by the normal Jew. And isn't it amazing that he went well beyond the necessary things? If you and I heard this story, and the story stopped with him getting the man to the inn, paying a night's lodging, and going on his way, not one person in this room would thought he didn't do enough. We all would be amazed. Wow, that guy went above and beyond. But the truth is, he went beyond that. He said to the innkeeper, whatever he needs, you meet and I'll foot the bill. Amazing. For a guy he did not know, as far as we know, others showed compassion. Do we show compassion to those who most likely cannot repay us? We don't have any idea that this guy even attempted to repay. It's easy for us to give and to help those who might be able to give and help us in return. Number three, we are to show compassion. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one to another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. This word compassion here means a sympathetic understanding. Peter gives us several things here. He talks about compassion, sympathetic understanding. He talks about brotherly love. He uses the word here, pitiful. This word means to have tender feelings for someone, or tender-hearted, or compassionate. And then the word courteous here has the idea of humility. In other words, as we respond to people, we treat them with brotherly love. We treat them with tender feelings as we meet their needs. And we do so in a humility. I was recently listening to a podcast, and they were talking about the damage sometimes people do in trying to help. And their whole point was this. Sometimes we go into areas trying to be a help, and we actually destroy anything good that those people were about. They specifically were speaking of Honduras. One of them had been in Honduras, and he talked about how sometimes short-term missions teams come in and in some cases destroy an economy. They're trying to be helpful. He said, but one of the illustrations they gave in this particular podcast was this. He said, there's mission teams that have come and given away 300 or 400 hammocks, not realizing that there are vendors in that town that sell hammocks, and that's their only way of living. And for the next year or so, they have no income because of it. We didn't actually help, we actually hindered in the process. We are to show compassion. How we treat each other says a lot about what we truly believe. What we truly believe. It's easy for us to say what we believe. But what you truly believe is what you actually do. Day in and day out, what you actually do is what you truly believe. We are to show compassion. Number four, compassion is an evidence of our salvation. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? John is telling these believers here, how can you genuinely say that you have the love of God dwelling in you when you can't even meet the needs of each other? Do we intentionally close off those to whom we could minister? Now listen, I understand the Bible is a balanced book, okay, and it is. It's balanced by things, you know, like for instance, you're like, hey, well, look, the Bible says, he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. It's true, it does say that. But he also says that if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. You see, that the Bible knows how to work through that balance. Now, the truth is, I've been burned before, helping people, and so have you. But we must be careful that we don't allow those things to turn us cynical, to turn off a genuine compassion that our Lord demonstrated. Question, did our Lord get burnt? Do you know what's interesting about him? He knew he was going to be burnt before he ever started. And he did it anyway. The fact is, if you were honest this morning, and if I were honest this morning, we've burned him. We've not always been what we should be. We've not always demonstrated the gospel in our lives every day. Be careful. Number five, this one you know, it can make a difference. Jude in verse 22, and some have compassion, making a difference. The passage in Jude, the word compassion carries the idea of mercy. Mercy. Again, question, you ever needed mercy? Aren't you glad that God is a God of mercy? Daily, He continues to load us with mercy. As we think about the idea of compassion, sometimes it is easy for us to become hardened to what people need. Now, I'm not saying this afternoon, every person standing on a street corner asking for money, you ought to give them money. Okay? I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that sometimes we in essence say to them, be ye warmed and filled, and that's it. And I don't believe that's what God wants from us. I believe our Lord wants us to genuinely be compassionate and to figure out, okay, God, is it possible for me to do something right now? Now, we know up front, it's impossible for us to meet every need out there. Can't do it. But does God want us to do something? By the way, it's one of the reasons why I absolutely love Project Go. Why when we first sat down and talking about church membership, one of the things he said to me was, I just need to know where you are with Project Go. And I said, is there 1,000% in or whatever? I'm all in. Those people desperately need the gospel. Now, is the gospel, look, hear me, is the gospel going to make all their economic problems go away? It won't, okay? But it'll make their main problem go away. And that's what's really important. But by the way, I think it solves other problems too. The truth is, and I don't have time this morning to even deal this, but any country where the gospel has had a significant impact, it's helped in every other area. Every other. It's helped economically. It's helped socially. It's helped. I mean, I could go on and on and on. It's genuinely helped when the genuine gospel gets there. That's why it's important. You've heard this story before about the little boy walking on the seashore and throwing starfish in. And the old gentleman walks up and says, what are you doing? And he says, I'm throwing in the starfish. And he said, you can't possibly save them all. He said, no, but it'll make a difference to that one. It'll make a difference to that one. One of the neat pictures that Project Go's website posted was that meeting with those four people, following up, discipling. I'm like, what a privilege, right? What a privilege. I've been in locations in Ghana, West Africa, I remember specifically, presenting the gospel to people for the first time, watching their face light up, watching them pray to their God in their native tongue, asking Him to save them. There's nothing like that. Can we show compassion today, this week? Roy Harrell Jr. in the Linton Guidepost related the following experience in October of 1960. He says, I was on a flight to Brazzaville, Congo. If you're not familiar with that time period, the Congolese rebellion was taking place there. Caleb Champlin's grandparents were kicked out of the Congo at that time. Matter of fact, the lady who discipled my dad and led my dad to Christ, Nana Briggs was her name, was kicked out of the Congo at that same time. This plane was grounded because of engine trouble, and I was cautioned to stay away from the city itself, but I left the airport on foot, determined to find a way to reach my destination. Ahead of me was a group of soldiers talking angrily. As I approached them, one of them grabbed me. I shook him off, but another knocked me flat. Later, I hired a car and driver to take me to Leopoldville. Some soldiers rushed out of a home and dragged us both from the car. One of them knocked me down with the butt of his gun. Another guard pulled me to my feet and told me to leave. As I stood dazed and hesitant on a street corner, an African woman spoke to me, asking what happened. I told her. She took me over to a water hydrant and bathed the cuts on my face. I said to the woman, you had better not let the force police see you helping a white man. Monsieur, I don't care if you are white or not. It is my Christian duty to help you, she said simply. And she led me to the safety of the American Embassy and said, as children of God, we must have faith in the Lord and in His mercy that all things happen for the best. Though misfortune, we often become better Christians. This man continues, I would like to forget the entire experience, but I can't forget that gentle Congolese woman who practiced her Christian belief in the face of mob violence. Compassion. May we never forget to practice it. In this world in which there's so much going on, and it's so easy to get cynical, let's don't let that happen. Let's be compassionate. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminders for me, Lord. I found myself being cynical at times, and I don't want that. I pray that our people would allow compassion to rule the day. Yes, balance with the other things of Scripture, but may we be compassionate. We love you. In your name, we pray these things. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.